This is WFAE's Morning Edition. I'm Lisa Worf. Now it's time for the latest installment of Social Distancing. It's our series where we hear from you, our listeners, about the challenges and changes you're facing in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak. In our latest story, WFAE's Sarah D'Elia speaks with a restaurant owner about opening a new business during the pandemic and what activism can look like in the kitchen.
Leah and Louise, located in Charlotte's Camp North End, doesn't feel like any other restaurant in Charlotte. That's because the couple who created it wants patrons to feel like they're somewhere else, their home city, Memphis.
It's about good food, good drinks, great music, and just being able to be in your space and be free and be yourself. So that's what my wife called it, juke joint chic. It's like updated juke joint. We ain't got no leaky walls or windows or nothing like that, so.
That's James Beard-nominated chef Gregory Collier. He runs the restaurant alongside his business partner and wife, Sabrina. The James Beard Foundation Awards are like the Academy Awards of the culinary world. The juke joint chic, he describes, is a cozy combination of eclectic decor paired with an industrial feel, much of which was found secondhand at thrift stores or repurposed materials. There's a pink velvet couch, exposed brick walls, whitewashed wooden tables, think a distressed picket fence and you get the idea, and alongside the back wall, a long row of pews.
The pews is a nod to, you know, we in the Deep South. Church is huge in the Deep South. We wanted to kind of just push like what modernization really looks like when it's in the hands of the people who are the originators of the culture.
There's even a ceramic jukebox that sits up high in the corner overlooking the bar. But the couple had to wait for Leah and Louise, their second venture, the other being Uptown Yoke, located at the 7th Street Market, to fill up. The original opening was scheduled for March, but the coronavirus pandemic forced the couple to rethink their business model without having sit-down service as an option. Fortunately, it worked out.
We appreciate it. It's been really good, even though the pandemic was going on. We have more press now than we had at first, which is amazing.
Gregory says he kept his staff intentionally small from the beginning. The restaurant has done well on curbside orders. And they got a break on the rent at both Camp North End and 7th Street Market. Add investor and community support, and Leah and Louise was able to open its doors for limited sit-down service last Friday under Phase 2 guidelines.
It's tough, it's hard, but like my wife and I have been doing this in tough situations the entire time.
The pandemic has been a challenge for sure, but as Black business owners, Gregory says, the Colliers are no strangers to tough situations. For one, Gregory has to think about his business in a way white restaurant owners don't.
You're never not going to a place because it's white owned. Lots of white people decide not to go in places because it's owned by a different nationality or whatever.
Another piece Gregory has to keep in the back of his mind is how he, as a Black man, is perceived in the world. One of those times is when he's closing down the restaurant, which can be late, sometimes midnight.
We had a security guard the other day come by and ask us, could he trust us to make sure we locked the door? Can you trust me to make sure I lock the door of my business? That doesn't happen to white business owners. Do you think I would just open it up and let people ransack the place? Or do you not think I really own it? So you feel like I need to make sure I tell them because they don't know how to run a business, right?
Gregory hasn't marched in the street during the recent protests, but he has marched in his own way. The Colliers have made sandwiches for a couple of the protests and participated in activism through the kitchen and how they run their business.
Like when people come in the restaurant, that's going to be a Black person at the bar. Our hostess is Black, and that's also our assistant general manager. The chef is Black, the kitchen has Black women in it. And I made a point to kind of curate those spaces because when people see me, they need to see excellence. When people see Sabrina, they see excellence. So they need to also associate other Black people with excellence.
There's intention behind every move the couple makes, from the location of Leah and Louise to the tradition and history behind the Southern food on the menu.
We're talking about Southern food in the South. Like, you cannot not talk about Black folks because not just like the backbone, the entire foundation, the walls, and everything, we're responsible for that. Like, literally, slaves created Southern food. So, like, food has always been activism. As Black business owners in America, especially Black business owners in the South, especially cooking Southern food, especially playing blues music in the space, in a neighborhood that's a food desert, in a historically African-American neighborhood, in a complex that is probably the most diverse complex in the city. All those things are activism. All those things are statements.
These are important and conscious decisions, but Gregory says they are largely silent ones. Now he's ready to be more vocal. He expects people to take a stand when given the opportunity.
Most people just say, I don't like racism. I'm anti-racist. under the covers. They don't say it out loud, and therein lies the issue, because then it lets people in your circle who are next to you be racist because you're not saying anything. So I made it a point to say, if you can't say nothing, if you can't take a stance again, I'm not going to work with you. Don't call me and ask me to do a dinner. Don't ask me to do a podcast. Don't ask me to buy your product. No, I'm not doing it. Like, you have to make a choice to support Black people. You have to make a choice to be anti-racist.
That choice is one white folks in the restaurant world need to make loudly and clearly, Gregory says. And he's not afraid to walk away from possible opportunities if they won't. An opportunity Gregory won't walk away from is to have tough conversations and encourage others to do the same. Every little detail put into Leah and Louise, down to the decor, sparks conversation and has a story. Even its name has important ties to Gregory's family. Leah was his sister's name and Louise his grandmother's. Both women, who have passed away, were chefs in their own right. Leah enjoyed throwing a recipe out the door and figuring out the dish as she went along. His grandmother, Louise, followed a recipe down to the T. Gregory landed somewhere in the middle as a chef. Both women had an impact on the person he is, in and out of the kitchen.
My wife's a Black woman. My sister and my granny were Black women. The leaders in my kitchen are Black women. So I wanted to make it a very clear notion that Black women are very important when we're talking about food, especially in the culinary South.
Gregory's hope is people will come to Leah and Louise not just for a great meal, but for an experience. An experience that includes history, family, music, and stories that can all be traced back to the revolution being fired up from his kitchen. If you'd like to share how the coronavirus has changed your life, leave us a voicemail at 704-916-9114 or go to WFAE.org for more information. And we hope you and your loved ones are taking care.